I will be reading from Joshua chapter 1 verses 6 to 9 in preparation for this message. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Doug, would you come forward and I will offer a prayer for you? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity this morning to hear Doug's story and to have him share with us. I just pray now that you would give him comfort and strength. Speak through his words to us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning and thank you for the opportunity to be here. So I'd like to talk about suffering and discouragement in suffering and not to be like Mr. Red Lollipop here in the picture. And I'll get into why I chose to talk about that in a minute. But I do want to start with a few comments about discouragement, faith, and suffering. They can be intertwined. Many people deal with suffering and discouragement differently. Some lean on their friends and their relatives, their neighbors, those people that are physically close to them. Some internalize and shut other people out, working to deal with their suffering away from the eyes of others, where they can't be seen. Some, hopefully many people, reach for their Bible, lean a little harder on the everlasting arms of Jesus, and pray for peace, healing, comfort, or for their burden to be taken away. Some people even fall away from God, blaming him for their suffering, asking why? Why me? What did I do to deserve this? Today I want to talk about how we can support others, how God's word can uplift us, and was in very many ways designed to uplift us in our time of need and remind us all that Jesus loves us, we are children of God, and this is how we are defined as children of God. Now, when I say suffering, this can be mental suffering, physical suffering, short-term, long-term. The interesting thing about suffering is there's always someone who's going through something worse than we are. And it always inspires us, or inspires me, when someone going through something especially tough is dealing with it in a biblical way, or providing hope to others while they're suffering. They're living out the call of Christ in meekness and sharing the gospel and their hope in more than just this earthly life. We can all be inspired by those around us who are suffering, and we can also inspire others daily with how we live our lives during our time of suffering. Do I look fairly healthy to you today? Not too bad, right? My birthday's in 3 days. This was me last year. On my birthday, no hair, going through 6 months of chemotherapy. December of 2022, I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. Quickly went to see a few doctors and found out it was stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma right before Christmas and was told to start chemotherapy right away. I said, nope. I said, we're going to get through Christmas first, then we'll figure out how we tell the kids, and then we'll figure out what we do from there. My doctor said, well, can wait as long as you'd like if you need to, but don't wait too long. This moves quickly. I'm in my mid-40s. I had no idea what to expect. I was told I was lucky. I was young for Hodgkin's lymphoma. It tends to hit people in their 20s to 40s and then 60s and older, and the treatments are different. And then I kind of lost whatever else he was saying afterwards because it was a lot to process. So we had Christmas. We told the kids. And January 3rd, I started chemotherapy down at Fox Chase in Philadelphia. Every 2 weeks, my wife, Mindy, drove me down. And I went through about 5 hours of chemotherapy, blood work first. I got a port put in for those who have been through chemo. And get a port and makes it easier to draw the blood and put the medicine in. And it was every second Tuesday, 14 Tuesdays, I think I did. And by the grace of God, I'm 9 months out, healthy, no signs of anything returning, and I see my doctor another 3 months, and hair's back, doing well. God is blessing us in many, many ways. And one of my questions going through this was, why me? One of my first thoughts was, if it's going to be someone in my family, I'd rather it be me. Not my wife, not my kids. I'd rather it be me. But still, why me? I think anyone who suffered anything, who's gone through any health concern, has to ask that question. Why me? Then the next question might be, okay, if you're going to talk about suffering, why Joshua 1:6-9? Joshua's not necessarily suffering. Where does that come in? Well, my wife bought one of these signs a couple years ago. We put it in on the wall, on our staircase, going from the downstairs to the upstairs. And every morning I would read this. It says, be strong and courageous. The Lord is with you wherever you go. It's part of Joshua 1:9. For 6 months, I looked at this sign every morning coming downstairs, a few times going upstairs. And at the beginning, I focused on the first part. Be strong and courageous. I went through the first treatment or two and I said, okay, I can do this. I just have to be strong. We put Bible verses throughout the house on the walls. I was praying constantly. It was a time for me to slow down and focus on what was really important. And yet I still thought I had to be strong and courageous because I felt okay. And then after a few treatments, the hair fell out, the weakness came on, and for anyone who's gone through chemotherapy, chemo fatigue is something I've never experienced nor I think will ever experience again. It is an exhaustion that is indescribable. And so I saw this and said, be strong and courageous. What are you talking about? I don't have any strength to give. I can barely get out of bed and go down the steps in the morning. So then I focused on the second half of the sign, which is the important part. The Lord is with you wherever you go. We had many Bible verses spread out throughout our house. I had preached a few months maybe before I was diagnosed. After Pastor Nelson retired, we had been looking for a pastor, and so a few of us would take a turn at the pulpit and try their hand. And I had happened to ask for what our congregation's favorite Bible verses were. And we had a jar, and they had slips of paper, and they put them into the jar. And it just so happened I was taking all these things and putting them into a document, and then we shared it out to our congregation, and that's one of the first things I reached for when I got this diagnosis, was I had all these Bible verses of people's favorite verses that I would read through, and it was just inspiring and wonderful to know that I had no idea of what was coming, and I asked for this because I felt our congregation as a whole could share from this opportunity to share and learn what verses of Scripture spoke closely to people. Selfishly, it helped me, but I'm sure it helped everyone else too. And the Lord was with me then and was still with me now and was with me throughout all of my treatment. The good thing about the treatment I had was that after about 2.5 months, I had another scan and my cancer was essentially gone. The cancer was quick acting but reacted well to chemo. I was thrilled. This was the end of February or so. It was fantastic. And then the next chemo treatment was one of the most depressing days of my life. Because I said to the doctor, why do I have to keep doing this? And he said, if you don't, it'll come back. You have to continue the treatment. But I'm healed. I'm cured. I knew God was working through me. But yet, the treatment needed to continue for months. And so I continued to get weaker and weaker and more susceptible to other sicknesses to complete the treatment. And I kept coming back to this sign. The Lord is with you wherever you go. So this Joshua text to me means a little bit more than just that. I go back to Deuteronomy 29. If you have your Bibles, please take it out. I don't have that up here, but Deuteronomy 29, verse 12. This is the ESV version. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. It's not for us to know how things are going to happen, why things are going to happen. That's for God to know. Our job is to live out God's calling for us. If you flip to the next page or two, in Deuteronomy 31, chapter 31, verse 7 to 8. This is when Moses is speaking and talks about Joshua succeeding him. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. The Lord goes before you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Now the last part's a little hard. Do not fear or be dismayed. I fear it. I'm dismayed quite often. But the Lord will be with you. Now, in the verses that were read by Nelson this morning, Joshua 6 to 9, three times, Joshua 1, 6 to 9, in verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9. This is the Lord saying to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. In verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. These verses stuck with me because, one, they were on my wall and I saw them every day. But two, I read these verses many, many times. We don't always have to be strong. That's okay. In fact, one of the very famous, popular verses in Matthew, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, says this, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus telling us that he will help us. He will walk with us. But this concept about do not go to the left or to the right is still in the New Testament. Matthew 11:28-30 is what I just read. But if you look at Matthew 11:27, this is the beginning of the passage, if you will, and Jesus says this: all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So I see this as, in Joshua 1, the Lord says to Joshua, do not turn to the right or the left from the book of the law. And here Jesus says, do not look anywhere but me, to Jesus. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly. This is Jesus' promise, one of many for us. We are not defined by our suffering. We are defined because we are children of God. Trusting God in the storms of our lives does not mean we're denying reality. Some people who don't believe feel that it's easy for us Christians to just put things in God's hands. Are we ignoring what's going on? No. We trust God to work things out for our good. We believe that God has the power to meet our needs and to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think because of our faith. Suffering can increase our faith in God. When we suffer, we are forced to depend on God and seek him, like perhaps we've never done before. Look back in your life at all the times God has brought you through uncertainty, discouragement, suffering, hard times. Often, it might not have seemed like that's the way you would have planned it or wanted it done. But God cares for each one of us and provides us a way through to where we are now. Many times these trials and challenges are for our benefit as we grow into more mature believers, being examples to others. For me personally, it was a time where I was forced to slow down. Work became secondary. I was able to take some time away from work, and I had to focus on how I felt every day. I talked with people much more than I should have about every time I, you know, went to the bathroom, what I ate, what agreed with me, what didn't, right? All the things that people who are sick share and people that have gone through it understand. But to others, maybe we're oversharing. But you slow down, you focus on the little things. I had more free time to put my kids on the bus and pick them up from the bus every day. I could walk the three houses down to pick them up and come back. And that meant the world to me. I could spend an hour or two or three in the Word if I felt up to it every day, or every day that I could. I walked around our neighborhood just to get some exercise, and that was tough. That was a lot to do. But all I kept thinking of was all the people in my church and my family and my church family that were praying for me every day. I had something to learn from this. I didn't know what it was. I still don't know what it was. But I know that there's lessons that I learned, and there's ways that I lived my life and continue to live my life that can be an example to others. And if that's one of the reasons that I went through this, then glory be to God for that. And I hope and pray that God will continue to reveal to me why this happened and what he wants me to learn from it. And I'm not naive enough to think it's over and done. I'll continue to go to see the doctor for years, and we'll see what happens. But by the grace of God, I'm healed, and I'm here feeling much better and looking much better than I did last year. And I'm just thankful for that opportunity. There's many examples of hope in suffering and suffering in the Bible that we can lean on, look at. Job in particular is one of the wisdom books in the Old Testament. I don't know if you read Job and find wisdom there, or just find it to be Job complaining for 40 chapters or so. If you don't read Job often, read it next time you're suffering or feeling beaten down by your struggles or having a bad day. It's 42 chapters long, so you know you might want to read it over a few weeks or so, but you get the idea. If you think you're having a hard time, Job had it a whole lot worse. He lost everything he had, including all of his children. And from my personal experience, it was comforting and reassuring to read Job when things were not going well for me. Job was an example to me in some ways, and I needed to read that to see someone going through suffering much worse than I had been going through and much worse than I could consider. I feel God put the book of Job in the Bible for people like me at times like that when I needed it. And I'm sure others have read Job and other books and felt the same way. But for me, that's one that I really connected with. Job's wealth, livelihood, his children, his health were all taken away. His wife told him to curse God and die, Job 2:9. Job 3:25-26 says this, "For the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes." How often do we feel that way? But Job trusts in the Lord. One of my favorite verses from Job is 13:15, and it's a famous one. And the beginning of it is says this, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him." Even if God kills me, if it is my time to die, I will hope in the Lord. Because there is more than just this life. Yet Job, not very smart, says in the same verse, "Yet I will argue my ways to his face, to the Lord's face." That's as human of a verse as I can find. Because it says, "I will hope in the Lord, no matter what happens." But I've got something to say to the Lord, and I think he'll see that I'm right. What humility and hubris in the same verse. It's okay, in my opinion, to argue with God. To be honest with how we feel in our prayers to God. We must understand that God's ways are unknowable to us. We don't know everything in the mind of God. There's no way we can fathom that. But he hears our prayers, our cries for help, our frustrations, and our mourning. That's okay. We are to bring everything we have to the Lord. So what I take from that is to have faith that we need God the most when we're suffering. People can sometimes fall away from God when they're suffering, and that's the absolute worst thing. I've also seen it as I've come out of my treatment and feel better. It can be easier to forget to pray, to spend less time in prayer because things are going well and I'm not feeling down and beaten down. That's another way to fall away from the Lord, and it's not healthy. And that's why every day praying and building a strong prayer life and a foundation and a community of believers is helpful, because even when things are going well, praying to the Lord is necessary and healthy. And I don't have to pray for myself. I can pray for all the others that need suffering, that are suffering, that need help. So I mentioned a few others on here. Mary, Paul, Peter, Jesus. I'll talk briefly about a couple of them. Mary to me is, so Mary can mean Mary Magdalene, can mean Jesus' mother Mary. I first saw this as Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke 1:37 is when Mary hears from the angel of God that she will have a child. The angel says to Mary, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary says, "Let it be to me according to your word." Let it be to me according to your word. How amazing is that? She doesn't argue. She doesn't laugh. She doesn't say this is impossible. She says, "Let it be as you're saying." But Mary is also an example of suffering. And we may not think of Mary as suffering too often, but I know that Mary was involved and knew of Jesus' life as he was witnessing, gathering his apostles, producing miracles and healing, and yet she knew that he would suffer. The grief and pain of watching a son or daughter suffer or die, or a close family member, a spouse, or a parent, can be nearly as difficult as suffering directly yourself. I found many times people saying, "How can you go through this? How are you doing?" But seeing the suffering in their eyes too. It's difficult and challenging to suffer with other people. God is there for us all. Jesus teaches us in his death that suffering is only temporary. Jesus triumphs over the world. He's the living water, the word of life, the Alpha and the Omega. Our suffering in light of his sacrifice and the glory that awaits those who truly follow him is temporary, minimal, and worth the cost. It's easy to say when you're feeling well. Suffering is never minimal and doesn't feel temporary when you're in the middle of it. But in light of the future we have in God, that's where the joy comes from, is that one way or the other, the Lord has us, each of us, in his hands, taking care of us, providing for us. Many times challenges and trials are for our benefit as we grow into more mature believers. It may not feel like that at the moment. And that's a challenge for us, is to lean into the Lord, to pray for peace and for guidance as we go through our suffering times. Paul suffered many times. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about having a thorn in his side or a weakness, something that he asked God three times to remove. And God says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul says, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Perhaps that's what my suffering and weakness was for, was to allow more of Jesus Christ to get into me, to live in me, to help me to realize that the Lord God is what provides my strength, my inner peace. Paul suffered much in his life. From his many epistles, we see that he praises God for his suffering, as it's for the benefit of the many new believers he reached during his lifetime. I'm not claiming to reach new believers and make converts or anything like that, but I do say that during my time of weakness and afterwards, I will gladly tell others of what I went through and that the Lord helped me through. In my weakness, Jesus made me stronger. Jesus was the one who obviously suffered beyond anything most of us will ever suffer. But Jesus is the perfect example of fully God, fully human. He understands our pain and our grief. He's been through more than we ever will, and he's always there for us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He has walked and lived the human path that we have all undertaken since the days of Adam and Eve. He knows our struggles. He knows our grief, our suffering, for he's endured more. And by his sacrifice, we are all saved. We need only to believe and declare Jesus as Lord. Many times I looked through the Psalms when I was going through my therapy, treatment, poison, call it what you will, chemo, and Psalm 23 is one that's always mentioned, and I have no problems with Psalm 23. I think it's a wonderful psalm. I was drawn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is a lament for the innocent sufferer, with Jesus Christ as the perfect example. And then I found it interesting. Maybe this was a new light for me that I'd read through Matthew many times. I've read through the Psalms many times. But Matthew 27 and Psalm 22 have so many parallels. On the left side is Matthew 27 in order, 27, 35, 39, 43, and 46. And the same statements in Psalm 22, they kind of go almost backwards. 22, 18, 7, 8, and 22, 1. I see this as Matthew being divinely inspired, or maybe knowing his Psalms exceptionally well, but I think it's divine inspiration. I'm just amazed at the similarities, at the almost word-for-word agreement between these two sections. Matthew 27:35, and when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Psalm 22:18, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Matthew 27:39, and those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads. Psalm 22:7, all who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. Matthew 27:43, he trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Psalm 22:8, he trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Matthew 27:46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22:1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Psalm 22 came to my mind when I started going through my treatments, and I said, why have you forsaken me? But God never forsakes me. Psalm 22, verse 24. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. The Lord has heard me and hears all of those who cry out for him. And then there's Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Trust goes beyond intellect to a deep reliance on the Lord, a settled confidence in his care and his faithfulness to us through the word of God. So how do we comfort others when they're suffering? What is our role as Christians to those who are crying out in pain, hurt, or discouragement? And I always felt Romans 12:15 was the right type of response. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Many people ask me what they could do when they would come visit. They would bring something to eat that sometimes I could eat, sometimes I couldn't. The joys of going through something like that. But it was those people who said, let me sit with you, or let me pray with you, or just share some time with me, that really reached me. And that's what I would suggest today to anyone who is suffering or needs some comfort, or anyone who's rejoicing. Share in their walk with the Lord wherever they're at. Be there for your brothers and sisters. Help them to see that the Lord is good. The Lord has provided you, the family of God, for them in their times of need. I will close with Isaiah 26:4, which says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the joy that you can provide to us in our times when we're feeling well, and for the care that you provide us and the love and comfort of others that you provide when we are suffering. Lord, we know that all of us will suffer at one point, some more than others, but Lord, you are there with all of us, walking with each of us closely, guiding our steps, shouldering our burdens, even carrying us along if we need. All we need to do is ask, Lord. Help us to ask boldly for your help and your love and your comfort. Help us to be comforters to those around us. Help us all to know and to share with others the love that you have for us and the confidence and hope that we have in you, Lord, for this life and the life that you have afterwards. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.